This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Industry leading, difference making, tomorrow shaping, world changing. These are a few of the adjectives people use to describe the technologies and companies Deloitte works with day in and day out. Join us, and soon those very same adjectives could describe your career too. Explore technology careers at Deloitte.com/tech careers and make an impact on business, technology, and society while engineering your future. At Deloitte.
And welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Yann Chenais. This is our preview episode of Fulham's match Monday night against Burnley. But as I've told Giannis, we're going to be spending very little time on the match. Pretty much at the end of the show, we will give our thoughts on that Burnley match. But we have a lot to talk about in regards to what has been going on with Fulham. We have not done the show in a little bit, so I certainly have a lot to say. I'm sure Giannis does as well. And we're hoping that this show will be constructive because we're going to look at a lot of different things during the season, and we're going to be focusing a lot on the players that came to Fulham. That's what this show is going to be about. If you're a Burnley supporter looking for a lot of talk on Burnley, this show really isn't for you. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll talk about Burnley at the very end as we talk about the match, but this is mostly, the majority is just going to be about Fulham and the Fulham players, and we're going to talk about that in just a bit. But before we do anything, Giannis, I just want to welcome you back to the show. Thank you for joining me this morning here in the U.S. It's 2 p.m. in England. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the fantastical mothers out there. I hope you have a spectacular day.
Absolutely.
And, I hope your kids deliver you lots of ice cream and all that sort of stuff. And we've got an interesting game tomorrow against our little friends up at Turf Moor.
Yep, and we'll be talking about that.
Looking forward to that. It's a do or die. But as the season gets to a close, we get to the point where we start discussing what is going to happen in the close season. Has everybody seen the Championship finish their regular season yesterday?
Yep.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention about Neeskens Cabano, who apparently got injured in the week because he was caught on somebody else's scooter.
I mean, really,
doesn't that sum up our season right there? I mean, that's the sum of it. But
yep.
We've got four more games. Let's see how we do them.
That's right. And we have certainly plenty of time to talk about what's going to happen next. But what's interesting is that we're not there yet. We're not there yet because, again, I don't want to blame Fulham for something that hasn't happened yet. They're not relegated yet. And everyone's jumping to let's talk about next season. We're certainly going to do that. But we still have to focus on this season and basically get to why we are where we are. And that's what this episode is mostly going to be about. We're going to talk about the players, and I think it should be interesting. But before we do that, I just want to just mention a couple things. First of all, I want to thank the Foam supporters for reaching out to me. This has been a difficult time for me and my family as I'm still recovering. Giannis mentioned he could still hear it in my voice from COVID-19. This is a horrible virus, and it hit my family hard. All four of us got COVID. My wife got it pretty badly and at one point had to be hospitalized with extreme dehydration. Thankfully, she is fine, on the road to recovery. I'm on the road to recovery. My kids are definitely back to where they need to be. But it has been a horrible few weeks. And I just want to thank everyone for reaching out to me. It means the world to me that the Foam supporters care. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. The other note that I want to mention, and again, this is very sad news. And I got a tweet about this early. And this has to do with Tony Fisher. Tony Fisher is what Foam, being a Foam supporter, is all about. Tony is a great ambassador for Foam Football Club, Tony Fisher. And we got word, and I saw it on Twitter, that he's been hospitalized at St. Mary's in critical condition with COVID-19. And Tony, I want to wish you the best. And I do hope you have a recovery, a speedy recovery. And I'm thinking of you, Tony. And I just want the Foam supporters to know about you. You are someone that I've always looked up to. And I'm hoping that you have a speedy recovery and get better soon. And you are in my thoughts and prayers. Okay. One last thing. As I mentioned, happy Mother's Day. I want to give a shout out to Lindsay Thompson. And David Thompson's been on the show. He's been a co-host before. And I want to give his wife a huge shout out. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Lindsay. I hope today is a wonderful Mother's Day for you and all the mothers who are having Mother's Day today. You know, wherever you live, if you know, whatever part of the world that has Mother's Day today, happy Mother's Day. Okay. All right, Giannis, let's now get into it. Let's talk about what's been going on with Foam. And basically what this discussion is going to be for the majority of the show: should we have signed these players? And of course, there's a Goldman, as I put this player. but, you know, again, that's a good Goldman. But basically, it's going to be how Foam should we have signed these players? Because, again, what's going to be interesting about it, because we're going to talk about the players that have come to Foam. And now that we have enough evidence of the time that they've been with Foam, I'm going to ask the question, should we have signed them, each individual ones, and really break down the recruitment that was done this summer and in January? Because again, there's obviously extremely fair criticism of Tony Khan on the recruitment, but I want to break that down before we then go back and talk about the recruitment by Tony and also Scott Parker's coaching, and then of course Shad Khan overseeing everything. Before we get all that, let's talk about the players. So Giannis, let's start with Ariola, our goalkeeper. Now, in my opinion, he's been a huge upgrade. And for me, Foam should have signed him because they have the option to buy. I think this is a good situation for Foam. And I think he's worked out well. The downside is that I think it's stunted the growth of Marek Rodak. So let me ask you, should Foam have signed Ariola on loan with an option to buy?
Possibly, yeah. The only problem would have been Ariola's a French international goalie, and would he have stayed? I mean, it begs the question at the end of the season. If we put the bid in and say, okay, we'll spend whatever it is on him, is he going to stick around? He's not going to top level, in, you know, playing at the top level, World Cup winners.
Even though we have the option to buy, would he want to stay?
He want to stay? I mean, you've got Rodak in there. I think Betts is out of contract, if I'm not mistaken. It's worth a punt, but I don't think he's going to stay. I just think there's this, well, not level of snootiness, but there's this misnomer about the championship. And we all know it's a horrendous division to get out of. I mean, we've got the money, and the Khans have the money to put the bid in. Do they sweeten the pot by increasing his wages? But the question then becomes, is Deschamps the French managers are going to say, well, am I really going to look at a keeper that's playing in the championship?
Right.
I don't know. But if we'd signed him in the first place, then he might have said, well, I don't want to play in the championship team anyway.
Right.
So we sort of took some
to the train. But the bigger question for me, Giannis, now that, you know, again, listen, he's been great for Fulham in general, but it's overall, was this the right move to bring him in with this option? I think it is because but again, on the other side, you know, he was an upgrade over Rodak, but now that we have the evidence that we have, I think this was a good, you know, a good purchase from Tony Khan. Just when we're talking about Ariel, your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we knew how good he was going to be. And then we found out how good he has been. He's kept us in many, many games. The option is like, it's like a trial run, isn't it, really? It's
least exactly.
It's least to own. And Ariel, he's made a couple of gaffes like any keeper does. But in some games, it's been absolutely brilliant. It's been lights out. And it's a shame because, I suppose, one of the negatives is there's a few of the lone players that will be playing, could well be playing their last games for our club.
That's right.
And Ariel, I think, and he's been an excellent addition. Now, the flip side might be that Rodi might have learned a lot from watching him this year.
That's right.
And that could he have games? Yeah. I don't feel bad if we go down if Rodi goes back in net. He proved himself last year.
Yeah. For sure. And I'm fine with that. So overall, I'm in favor of the signing. But
yeah,
so let's
here.
Move on and let's talk about Anthony Robinson. This is an interesting one because they got him for such a small amount. So the amount that he was signed permanent, this to me makes sense. But I'm just going to ask you the question again. Anthony Robinson, I think, has been good, but should we have signed him? And do you think he's been an upgrade?
This is a tough one. It's a tough call for me because I really like, I love Robinson's mobility. I love he's obviously a team player. He scares the bejeevers out of right backs. The problem is, although I have seen recently levels of improvement in terms of his crossing, his end product has been the big thing where if you could sort of mold Robinson's pace and directness with Joe Bryan's crossing ability, you've got a hell of a fullback there. But I think he's been a very good signing. Has he been an upgrade?
Yeah.
He's a better defender than Joe Bryan, but Joe Bryan can cross better. But I think that these are two players that are going to be with us next year that can learn from each other.
Okay.
And Joe Bryan's always going to be a legend.
Oh.
Whatever he does. I mean, that's it. There's that goal. But I've liked Robinson this year. He got sent off. Did he get sent off against Chelsea?
He did.
First game?
He did.
And I think that really
affected him, by the
way. It did. He came back and took him two, three games to get going. But I really like what he's done. Came from Wigan. He's turned out to be an absolute steal for me. And
I think this is a good signing.
I think it's a very good signing. Yeah, I've been pleased. Just the only disappointment has been his level of crossing has been extremely inconsistent. I'm putting it.
If we could put the two players together, Bryan and Robinson, I think we would have one excellent player because again they have skill sets that, you know, as a in their position, if you have them together, you'd have one great player. And Anthony Robinson needs to be working on his crossing. And of course,
that's Mourinho calling.
Yeah, I guess Jose's giving me a call. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Kenny Tete. This one's an interesting one, okay, Giannis? So I want to get your thoughts on Kenny Tete. He's on a permanent. So, again, should Fulham have signed Kenny Tete? We have a good amount of evidence on him. And was he an upgrade?
Personally, I think the jury's out on this one. I'm not – he's had good games. He's had not so good games. I'm assuming he's going to stick around next year, but remember, he's a Dutch international, is playing in the championship. And this is the problem, unfortunately. National coaches look and go, well, you know, am I going to pick somebody who's playing in? They'd even pick a player that's playing in the Eredivisie, which to me, I think is lower than the championship, personally.
Yep.
Over a player that's playing in the championship. I think he's had a decent season. Early on, he played very well. But crossings have not been great. There've been some mix-ups in the back. Has it been? Yeah, he's been okay. He's been an upgrade for sure. If he stays with us, he's a very good right back at championship level. He's going to scare the bejeebers out of a lot of teams.
Right. I actually like this move. Like I said, this is a permanent move. And, you know, it's funny. When he first began with us, I thought his crossing was very good. And, you know, and again, he got injured, and I think that threw off his season a little bit. You know, and again, what's interesting, because we're talking about two players, when they have faced adversity, they haven't come back as the same player. And I hope this changes, you know, as they get more into their careers, that they learn from their mistakes or their situations and they come back from it stronger, you know. And again, injuries, injuries are injuries, but, you know, it's hard to come back from them, and hopefully he'll be the same player that we saw prior. But again, it's been, you know, up and down for Kenny Tete. But in the beginning, I thought he really had these signs that he was going to be a real quality player. Here's an interesting one. So let's talk about this one. Should Fulham have signed Ola Aina on loan with an option to buy? Giannis, let's talk about one of probably the worst first showings of a player that I can remember. He was horrible against Brentford in that cup match. But several fans were already down on him, and I thought it was a huge overreaction. I kind of like what Ola Aina has given to Fulham. What are your thoughts about him? Again, we have the option to buy with him. What are your thoughts?
I think if he would be willing to stay, I would keep him. I mean, you've got Brian and you've got Robinson and you've got Aina. If you assume that Tete might leave, you've got Steven Sessegnon coming back.
Yep. A lot of competition.
You've got Cyrus Christie, let's not forget.
Yeah.
That's coming back from Middlesbrough. You've got good competition there, and I like that. I would, with the umbrella payments, it's funny, every time, I know it's awful, but every time I'm thinking in the background, I keep thinking of the phrase yo-yo club.
Yes.
It's always there. It's like a bad, bad rash.
That's who we are, my friend. That's who we are.
Pisses me off, and I know. Wouldn't it? What would be the irony if Norwich and Watford are up, if Bournemouth make it through playoffs, although they've got to play Brent fodder, that's going to be a tough match because they're not playing.
Big shout out to my friend Asmir Begovic. I'm pulling for you, Asmir. You know, beat Brentford.
That's going to be. It's also a fairy tale playoff because Barnsley.
Barnsley
have got Swansea. Yeah, and Barnsley. Yeah. Crawley scored another goal yesterday, and they could, seeing as Brentford have lost, what, 9 playoff finals or something like that in a row.
Crawley Woodrow,
yeah, it'd be interesting.
Too bad we don't have players like him. Oh, we did have him, okay.
We did, yeah, and what I said all along, I thought we needed to give him a better shake. But the club thought... They thought better of that. He's got Stefan put there. He's matured with time, and I'd hold on to him. And I agree with him. I think, and it's not like we don't have the money, Russ. We have the money. We do have this. The family has the money. But something I'm going to mention at the end about just what fans need to understand about the ownership and where they've got their hands in the pie, and where something that worries me long term.
Well, we'll talk about ownership again. I just want to go through the players, Giannis. I want your thoughts on when we talk about ownership, we talk about Shad Khan, because again, that's a part of the puzzle here. You know, I hear all this talk about Tony, and it's, listen, we should be talking about Tony, absolutely. But we should also be talking about his father, because his father owns Fulham Football Club. And we should talk about, you know, again, the buck stops with him. I've said this, you know, and I'm a fan of his. I've met him, you know, but I will say, you know, we need to keep everyone accountable, including the owner. Everyone should be accountable for where we are today. And, you know, and I just have to say that when we look at Fulham Football Club, we have to look at it as a whole. We have to look at Parker, the players, Tony Khan and his staff, and then, of course, Shad Khan, the owner. We have to look at everyone, because everyone has a role in all of where Fulham are right now. Okay. All right, let's move on, Giannis. And before we talk about another player, I'm curious your thoughts on Tosin. This happened late in the window. Again, a very good deal. Should Fulham have signed Tosin? I'm going to say yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not, I mean, he's, the second half of the season has been challenging. He's made
he's
some
been
mistakes,
challenging.
I think.
He's learning.
But he's, yeah, you're right. You just nailed it. He's learning. He's a young centre back. And, you know, you've got some experience in that squad. You can learn from, not just from Kenny, not from just from Anderson, but, you know,
yep.
Let's not forget Hector and Ream. Yep. You've got Terence Kongolo. I mean, you know, poor fella. And when Alfie Mawson comes back in the squad, that's another one. Alfie Mawson, when he comes back to the you know the squad, hopefully he's fit. He's going to learn from players like that. He'll have learned an enormous amount from Anderson, from Joachim. He's been super, but. I think for what was it, 1.2 million? It was an absolute steal. Let's get past his mistakes. Yeah. He's we'll get past his mistakes and towards the end of the year. But a player so young playing in the Premier League, this would be a wonderful, wonderful experience for him. And he's played well. He was definitely
you nailed it, Giannis, because again, for all the mistakes that he has made, I should say all they're. Obviously have been costly mistakes. He's going to learn from them, and he's only going to be a better player. And I think in a couple seasons, we won't see those mistakes. And right now we're seeing him because he's learning. He's young. He's doing it at the highest level. And if Fulham go down, which is likely at this point, I think he's going to be incredible at that level. I think he will be incredible. And I know that he has a desire to be with a team higher than Fulham. I think I read somewhere that his goal is to play in the Champions League. So if he wants to go, if he wants to get there, I think part of his maturation process would be to stay with Fulham for a little bit. And I think that he could really help Fulham in the upcoming seasons. So I definitely am all for this signing. Here's an interesting one, Giannis. You and I talked about this off air. This one is going to be a little bit controversial, okay? Because I'm here to tell you, I'm not sure about the answer on this. Should Fulham assign Anderson on loan with no option to buy? The reason why I'm bringing this up now is I think he's been, along with Ariel, Fulham's best player. Not having an option is a major problem with me, and I'm going to explain why. Again, they needed to get another center back. They were desperate to get two center backs. Both came at the very end. We're talking about Tosin and Anderson. The problem I have with this is that Tony came out in an article over the summer saying he didn't want to develop other teams' players, talking about Ryan Sessegnon. Well, what the hell are you doing here? You know, you're bringing a player here on loan who has been excellent. He has been, I want to tell you, he's been excellent. So this is an issue that I have. I don't have an issue with bringing him in, but should they have done it without the option to buy? Because I think that's a problem here. What are your thoughts about it? Because, again, I like the player. I like the fact that he came to Fulham and has played so well, but there's no option to buy. And others have said, well, they can always make a, you know, try to make a deal. But without that option, is this good business or was this desperation at the end? Or was it to look for the right deal? I think they were looking for the right deal, but they did not get the final piece of the deal, which was the option to buy. So should they have walked away from it without the option to buy? And again, it's tough because they needed another center back. And that's why I think this is an interesting conversation about Anderson. Arguably, Fulham's best player, but they don't have an option on him.
I think there's a word you said in there, desperation. I think that's what it is. Because if you remember, after the transfer window, he said, oh, he tried to sign. He had one player who turned his back and others put the bids in. And then Kermit the Frog was going to sign and he didn't. Darren Bent was going to come out of retirement, but he didn't. He thought, you know, Floyd Aito would come back as a left back, but he didn't. I mean, it was just all sorts of excuses. And it was during that he talked about the yo-yo thing. Yep. Now, notwithstanding, we could put a bid in, but remember, Lyon spent 27 million.
That's right.
We could put a bid in because it's you could turn around and say, well, it's because of his form at Fulham that the Danish national team and their back four is very, very strong.
Right.
Gave him a call up and gave him some cap. So you could say, well, does he sort of owe us that because we got him on a loan and we've sort of resurrected his career. And that might be something that we could play with in terms of a bid. The only problem is going to be how much will they want for Joachim Andersen, A, and B, will Andersen stay? It's going to be interesting. It's one of the many decisions that need to be made. But Leon may have been of the mindset of we don't want to sell him.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we can't put a bid in and say, look, well.
And I guess that was the you know, and again, I can't be in the head of Tony Khan, because again, this is just an interesting discussion piece, because when you look at it, he has been great for Fulham, and I'm not saying that he hasn't, and he's been great, and I'm glad that we have him, but I'm not happy about the contract situation. And, you know, I'm just asking myself, you know, and again, like you said, it makes sense why they didn't offer the option to buy Giannis, why Leon didn't. But I think it's fair to go ahead.
Well, something that came to light in the week was this the open advertising of a director of scouting.
Yep.
At Fulham. And I think this has had a really big impact, and it's something that's actually I'm very uneasy about, because I think it was Javier Pereira was there, and then he went.
Yep.
He left in September, which means we basically had nobody. And then I think it was Peter Rutzler from The Athletic might have put in an article, and my apologies if I'm wrong, where with the money, basically, Scotty was allowed to bring in another one of his coaches.
Yep.
And they managed to get around that. And I think that's, if that is the case, that was a major mistake, because we knew we were in real trouble.
Yep.
And it begs the question, assuming we go down, who's doing the scouting right now? If we get relegated tomorrow, we've got three extra weeks.
See, Giannis, this is a great topic, because it's something that I'm glad that we're talking about, and I was going to ask you about this later, but it's a great time to talk about it. Javier Pereira, I don't think has been talked about enough, him leaving and the effect that it has. He came in January, so he had to have been involved then, and then, of course, you know, again, we don't know exactly when he left Fulham. We were told in September, but not having him there, and now they need a director of scouting. Javier was the assistant director of football operations, meaning he was under Tony Khan, you know, a different title, director of scouting. But like you said, why hasn't there been one now? Why is Peter letting us know now? Well, he's letting us know now because they don't have one. So exactly. Why don't they have one now?
Exactly, Russ. And this is what pisses me
off. This happened in September.
Yeah, September.
September. Why don't we, you know, and again, doesn't sound like, you know, the titles are different, okay? But why don't they have a director of scouting right now? Why?
See, it's interesting. If we got Tony Khan on the show now and said, we could ask him some questions, some pertinent questions, and one of them could be, what are the plans, what sort of plans have you undertaken or set up in preparation for the close season, which, to be fair, this year will be longer than last year. I mean, I'll give Tony a little bit of slack in terms of, you know, the playoff final. There was less time until the season. And I get it. But this year is like 2 years ago. There's no excuse in terms of the timelines, COVID or non-COVID, in terms of scouting and getting, seeing who's available, looking at the contracts you have, people are going to. So is there a plan? And when I read that, my head nearly fell off, because I thought, so what bollocks have we been doing here? I mean, I'll give you an example. Josh Maguire was a player I would not have had on a radar. Not on a player that had played League One, went to Marseille, really has done nothing, come here, scored a few goals, but where did that come out? Is it like you stick a hand in a pot and go, oh, yeah, he looks good for it. Has he got two legs? You know, or can he run? I mean, yeah, all right, he'll do. He's a big body. Camera had obviously gone.
Yep.
And it just seems really, really disorganized. It just seems like, and I know a lot of fans are pissed off about the number of loanees coming in.
Well, that's why we're talking about this. We're talking about the loans, and we're talking about just all the signings, because I want to really get down to the nuts and bolts of this. You know, because again, there are some loans that have options to buy, which I'm fine with in this scenario with Josh Maguire. But again, we're going back to Javier Pereira not being there, Giannis.
Right.
And there isn't, at that point, there isn't that assistant football operations person in there to talk to Tony about. Now, again, he has other people underneath him, but were they missing someone to help guide him in the decisions in January? I don't know. And this is a fair question to ask, because why are they looking for a director of scouting now? Why now, and why not back over in September? You know, are they related? Was Javier doing that job with a different title? I don't have the answer.
There's no clarity, Ross, and it's
no, there isn't.
And everything is a pre facto. Everything is after the event.
And it's all short-term thinking, Giannis, and that's what drives me nuts. It's all short-term thinking. Where's the long-term plan? Where is the Fulham way? I always talk about this. Southampton has their way. They have their way of doing things. I watched a great documentary on Southampton. Love them or hate them, Southampton have a way of doing things, and it's long-term thinking. Where is the long-term thinking? Again, they might think it's long-term thinking. I'm talking about the club might say we are thinking long-term. It just seems more short-term. It doesn't seem like there's a defined way of Fulham. You know, this is who we are. Who are we? We are year to year. We build a team, and we're going to reconstruct the team next season and basically starting over. So, again, while we're here, should Fulham have signed Josh Maja? It sounds like you are a no on that.
Absolutely. I know he scored the two goals against Everton.
Okay.
But for me, no, I just, maybe okay. I've not seen enough games. But we don't have an option to buy anyway on him. If I'm not mistaken.
I thought we did.
I can check. I'm going to check on my trusty phone. Okay. I actually made a note of this. I've been tracking this because I think it's something that fans quite rightly are very concerned about, because they, you know, they and it's all to, Russ, it's all
on
to
the
do
Fulham,
with
on the Fulham on the Fulham website. It does not say, but when I went to an article from Peter Rutzler, it said that they did have an option. So that's, I was going with what I read from Peter Rutzler on The Athletic. But
okay, if that's the case, well, we've already made a mess up. We had a chance of getting Ivan Toney last year for crying out loud. Jesus, we could have even got Eberechi Eze. And he looks like a bloody world beater right now.
Yep.
A superb player he is. He's going to be an absolute – he's so much fun. He's so much – yeah, I've got to give the Ha-Has a lot of credit here.
Yep, definitely.
Eze is one of the funnest players to watch in the Premier League. He doesn't run past players. He glides.
He does.
It's a lot of fun. But,
okay, okay, my friend. Yeah. Just for time's sake, we're going to speed it up a little bit. Here's an interesting one, okay? Should Fulham have signed Lookman on loan? Again, I think that he's had his moments. I think he's been good. No option to buy, Giannis. Thoughts on signing of Adamola Lookman? As a player, I think Fulham needed a dynamic player, but I think you're seeing why he was put on loan, because he's not consistent. He's not consistently finishing. He's what I would say, well, what if he was consistent? He's a what-if player for me. But they don't have the option to buy. Again, this goes back to the whole Ryan Sessegnon developing. We don't want to develop players for other teams. But again, he's a quality player. So I'm going to ask you, should we have signed him?
No. No. Okay. Back to Leipzig you go.
Okay.
It's funny. The Chelsea game, the last game, there have been instances, and I got an enormous amount of flack. Remember, from the Panenka penalty against West Ham.
Yep.
I still think about it. Sorry. It is what it is. But against Chelsea last week, we got ourselves a number of corners. I mean, there were some really good bits, especially about the first half. But how many times did Lookman get the ball into beat the first man in the box? Like, unforgivable. And really flat to deceive. Scored a very important goal against Sheffield United, but no, he's going to be a player that Leipzig will either keep, or he's going to go out on loan somewhere else.
Okay.
He's not a fit to me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's just for time's sake, we're going to do a little rapid fire on some of these. Should Fulham sign Kongolo?
No. Yes, because I still think.
I think he's a quality player.
Yeah, I do.
He's injury prone. I say yes.
Yeah, he's like dropping a glass from a glass of water from a 20-story building. It's going to crack.
I think he's worth it. I think he's worth, you know, the yeah. you know, as you would say, the punt. He's worth doing. So,
yeah, you know, I think he's the little time we've seen him, he's done all right.
Okay.
So yes, I'm good.
Okay.
With
that. Okay. I think you're going to agree with me. This is a big yes for me. Should Fulham sign Harrison Reed permanently?
Yeah, and he's injured right now, and we've missed him. He's a little pocket of, you know, bounciness. He's been absolutely superb, and I hope we don't lose him in the close season. It would take a big price. I think a pretty good big price, but.
Teams are going to be after him, trust me.
I think teams could be after him, but unless he's got this loyalty thing where he goes, you know, I know I'm going to start every game here at Fulham, and that's the problem. You go, look at, what's his name? Oh, my God. He went to Everton. I'm having a senior moment.
That's okay.
Striker went from Bournemouth. Someone's going to tell me.
I'm having one too.
His arse is warm because he's been
Josh.
Spending on...
And we were after him.
We're both having
senior moments.
Yeah,
I hear where you're going.
On the bench, and I can see his name now. It's killing me. I'm going to look it up. But no, he's going to want to play, and
yep.
And I'm good with that.
Yep.
And I would. Yeah. I mean, no.
Okay.
No, but it just goes to show, right? If you do it goes to show the whole thing. Oh, Josh King. Thank you, Ben.
Josh King. There we go.
Thank you, Ben.
I said Josh.
Josh, yeah. The whole point here is that if you can forward plan, you've got plan A or scenario A, scenario B, scenario C.
Yep.
You got backup and a backup to a
exactly.
backup. But we didn't do that. And that's why we've had last minute scrambles okay. and
yeah.
And again, it's like putting back home, they say in England, everybody at home knows what bubble and squeak is.
Yep.
And it's like putting all these ingredients in. You're going to just chuck a bit in and chuck a bit in, and hopefully it's going to taste like something. That's sort of what Tony Khan did with the squad. But the flip side is you've got no identity because a bunch of these guys could well be gone at the end of the season. And then what happens?
I will say this, and this is true, but there are some players that, if we're going to criticize, like you say, the way that these players came in, there are players that he did bring in that I think are going to be part of Fulham's future. And I think Harrison yes. Reed is one of them. You know, like
for
you
sure.
said, Kongolo is someone that you take a shot on. I'm fine with that. Some of these others I don't agree with, you know, and again, I have, you know, issues with, like I said, even with the Anderson thing, I have an issue with the fact that there was no option to buy. Same thing with Adam Ola-Luckman. I have issues with that. So those are some of my problems because, again, it's not long-term thinking. I think that's where I'm going on it, Giannis. It's thinking, well, we're just thinking about this year. He's a quality player. Let's just get him here. But then it just becomes a rental. They're just rentals.
The rentals,
and
yeah.
I think that's where it really affects the Fulham supporters because they're thinking, well, how can I get to really care about a player that's not going to be here long-term? And I understand that. So I think part of it is if you have the option to buy, bring him in. If you don't, I don't know. I don't know. I understand why these players came because, like you said, especially in Anderson's case, they needed him. They needed him. But Adam Ola-Luckman, it's like, why do you do it if you don't have the option to buy? And here's we have two more, and then we're going to move on. I'm curious your thoughts about this player because he's grown on me. Mario Lemina. We have an option to buy with him. Thoughts on Mario Lemina?
I think we'll put a bid in, but I don't think he'll stay.
I don't think he'll stay either.
No, will Southampton look at him? I mean, Southampton have had a lot of injury problems this year, so it's not helped them. But will they look at Lemina and say, well, he played decent. Would I like him to stay? Yeah, I'd like him to stay. But would he play in the Championship? I don't think it matters whether he plays in the Championship or not. And what I'm about to say now, it's no disrespect, and please don't take it as such. I think that European nations, national teams have more of a snootiness about which clubs players play for than African nations do.
Okay.
And for that reason, I think that Lamina wouldn't have a problem staying in the championship because he, I think he's, I believe he plays for, is he play for Togo? He plays with Aubameyang.
Yep.
And to me, if he plays in the championship and he's starting most games.
I actually think he cares about being at Fulham. I think he's shown that.
And I think it's not like the national team is going to go, oh, he's playing the championship. They're not going to do that. They're playing in England. Like it's just the romance and sex things of playing in England.
Exactly.
So Lamina is someone we could put a bid in. Now, the next question is how much will Southampton want for him if they want to sell him? I don't think he's going to stay, but then again, we never know, right?
Right. And again, just to, I wouldn't mind having him back, but again, his situation is a little interesting because of Southampton. All right, my friend, we're going to end with a player that has been the most controversial the entire season. You ready? Here we go. Should Fulham have signed Ruben Loftus-Cheek on loan? And this is an interesting one because at the time, I'm going to put my hand up and say, you know what? Wow, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. But he was coming off this horrific injury. And there's no option to buy with Chelsea. I know I've read all the things that we could put in a bid for him, during the season. I wouldn't put in a bid for Ruben Loftus-Cheek. This has been the biggest disaster Fulham had all season. Because if this worked, I think Fulham's season would have been different if he worked. And again, he was coming back from injury. And then it comes to the other question, has Scott Parker utilized him correctly, Ruben Loftus-Cheek? But I think this, this signing has been a disaster, Giannis. I wanted this to work so badly. I've seen glimpses of it, but again, there's no option to buy, just like Adam Ola-Luckman. And I think this signing has affected Fulham in so many ways.
Yeah, because if those fans that remember what Loftus-Cheek was like 2 years ago.
And that's what we thought we were getting.
Yeah, and what he was like playing for England will know what sort of quality player he was. And he, on his day, he's destructive. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, he had a very, very bad injury. And look, that was a huge rehab and that would have been difficult for him. I think the thing that gets me about Ruben Loftus-Cheek is because you can see so much potential, but right now he doesn't, and he's nervous. You can tell that he's nervous to go into challenges. He's nervous of repetition of the injury. It has not worked out.
No.
But the thing that bothers me about the Loftus-Cheek thing is not him. It's the fact that it goes back to Tony Khan's comment about we're not in the habit of developing other people's.
Well, again, it comes back to that. And he has to live with that. Tony has to live with those comments. He came out and said that, and unfortunately, it's coming back to bite him because now we have these signings that are loan signings with no options to buy, and you go back to saying that about Ryan Sessegnon. I wish Tony didn't say that because now he set himself up for what we're doing now. If he didn't say that and we did this again, I still wouldn't be really great about the loan situations without options to buy because I like the option to buy. But Giannis, overall, this hasn't worked.
No, it hasn't.
And it's a good point by you. He is not playing to his potential, and part of it probably is he's hesitant because of the injury, worried about getting hurt again. And, again, it just hasn't worked. At the time, I had hoped that it worked because I could see how we could use him, and unfortunately not having Tom Kearney available for most of the season has hurt as well. But this signing has just backfired.
Yeah, it's not been a good one for both parties. We've paid a lot of money for his wages.
Yep.
No, it hasn't worked. And, we'll send him back to Chelsea with good wishes. I mean, I think he's going to pop out a Premier League club next year. It probably is not going to be us. But I'm going to go back to Tony Khan and his developing other people's players, like you say it with one mouth and then one side of the mouth and the other, you bring in Loftus-Cheek and you go, and it hasn't worked out. And I think that I'd like to think he'd be the first one to admit that. I don't think Scotty will.
Yep.
But most of us have seen. It took me a while to get there.
Yep.
But I think that was more foolish of me in terms of wanting him to get there. Yeah. The reality is he's not been able to get there.
I wanted him to get there too, Giannis. I desperately wanted it. But again, we're at the point where we can put our hands up and say it just didn't work. But again, that's what we're going to talk about briefly, and then we're going to finish up with our thoughts on the matches. Just talking about the different parts of Fulham and where they all fall into. But before I do that, I want to ask you this, because I think this is the underlining issue. You know, we're just talking about Ruben Loftus-Cheek, but just in general, I think the majority of these players are good enough to keep Fulham in this division. I do. But they can't handle the pressure, Giannis. These players cannot, when the pressure's been on, they have failed. And I'm just going to ask you, why do you think it is that they can play against and beat a team like Liverpool, Leicester City, Everton, all on the road, and falter against Brighton, falter against Southampton, get draws, and, you know, again, lose to teams that are around them or draw teams around them? Why can't they, when the pressure's been on to win, they have not been able to do that? So my question is, why do you think that is? Is it something that, again, is it the fact that these are lone players? I don't think that's the fact. How do you measure players' ability to handle pressure when you purchase them? How do you do that?
I mean, you could argue that part of it is the leadership on the pitch. You know, I mean, you look at, I always think of Danny Murphy. I think of
yes,
Aaron Hughes, Breda Hangeland.
How about Kevin McDonald, even more recently?
K-Mac, yeah. It's what sort of leadership do you have on the field that can do that? And when you look around, you sort of have a form of leadership in terms of the commitment of the play from Harrison Reed.
Yes.
The closest one I would probably say was Joachim.
Joachim Anderson is probably the closest leader.
But really, there's nobody out there who can, you know, can get a stranglehold on terms of the players when things are going wrong. A classic example, Villa away. We were in decent position.
See, that to me is the ultimate example of not being able to handle the pressure.
Yeah, we folded like a cheap tent and really should not have done. We should have been ecstatic that Grealish wasn't playing in that game. And like a lot of portions of our season, yep, we actually played well and defensively had great shape. Yep. And then for some reason, we lost the plot, and that was really disappointing. But I think the lack of leadership, and that's as important a construct as anything in your team. You've got to have a team where you have leadership all around the field, because you're going to have and I'm going to give you a thingy. I think a classic example of this. On Friday night, Leicester lost to that lot up in the northeast. But Johnny Evans wasn't playing.
Right. And he's the
backbone.
Leader.
He's the backbone of that team. Well, and United, how they let him go, I'll never know. He's the backbone. He's the leadership on that team. And suddenly you saw someone like Soyuncu, who just looked like a duck. He was like, what's going on here?
Right.
And just mistake after mistake after mistake. He's that presence, that stability piece that every team needs, and we just don't seem to have it inside.
Well, I'll give you an example, Giannis. And again, this, when you talk about that Aston Villa match, I'm going to give you the flip side of that. And with these last four matches happening, I look towards the Great Escape team. And if you look at them, they were able to do it at pretty much the same period of time. They were able to do it, and they have leadership. The best example I can give you is that Man City match. They're down 2-0 at the half. What ends up happening, Giannis? They score three goals. Who's out there on the pitch, Giannis? Who's scoring a goal on a penalty, Giannis? Who do they have out there? They have a leader out there. You might have really diagnosed one of the main success stories of that turnaround might just be having leadership with Danny Murphy. So when you look at these last four matches and you look at Fulham in general, why are they not able to handle the pressure? There needs to be someone out there galvanizing, especially when things aren't going right, to get the team back on track to deal with that pressure. And they just might not have it. And that might be the ultimate downfall of Fulham's situation here to relegation is that they just didn't have the leadership on the pitch. And that's the unfortunate part. They don't have that. They don't have the K-Mac. They don't have the Danny Murphy. The closest that they have is Joakim Andersen. But he is not, again, you know, like you said, Giannis, is he a true leader out there? Can you be a true leader as a lone player? I don't know. Maybe that's also a factor in this. I don't know. But I think when it comes down to why they can't handle the pressure has to do with leadership. That's very good. Okay, Giannis, just to finish up, because, again, we'll spend about 5 minutes on the upcoming matches, basically previewing very quickly. But before we do that, I want to kind of just run through these, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Scott Parker, Tony Khan, and Shot. Okay, so we're going to do this kind of quickly, all right? Let's start with Scott, okay? Do you think Scott Parker is getting the best out of his players? Is he putting them in the best position to succeed each and every match? And I just say this, let me just preface this. I like Scott Parker. I want him to still be the full manager. I think he's still learning his craft. Is he putting each player in the best position to succeed each and every match?
Not every match, but I sometimes get the feeling with Scotty that he looks at.
Is he too conservative, Giannis?
I think he's a conservative coach, but I'm not convinced that he's convinced about the players he has.
Okay.
I mean, I point to Cavallero. I mean, I do a lot of nodding. I mean, the first thing you do an hour before you get, you know, the phone tells you the lineup, and you're going, oh shit, Cav is in the lineup again. So this isn't his team, and that's why I think really he needs to sit down with the Khans, and to say, look, these are the players I really want to have in, and not these bit part players. Cavallero was. I mean, no wonder Wolves laughed at us. No wonder Brighton laughed at us. We took Knockar after. Oh, we forgot Anthony Knockar, for crying out loud. I mean, they conned us. They absolutely conned us. And we've got to get players that suit the sort of style that he's trying to preach. I think it still needs time. Look at Sean Dyche. It didn't happen overnight. It took a long look at Eddie Howe, a long time. Eddie Howe, look, it takes time.
It does.
You know, all these idiots from Arsenal. Oh, Arteta. No. Arteta learned from the best. Does he have the players that he can mold as the squad that he wants? I would argue strongly with you, no. So
yep.
I think he needs a say in, look, I want A, B, C, D, E, F, G. These are the players I want. These are the players I don't want. And that's going to pivot to the ownership.
Yep. Okay. And that's going to lead me to now talk about Tony. Okay. And listen, Tony deserves a lot of criticism, and I've criticized him. And but I will also be on the other side, is that I will give him praise when he deserves it. I think that he deserves a lot of criticism for things that have gone on this season. I do think that, again, some of the loan signings, I believe, is a reaction to what's been going on in the world with COVID, but also with the spending that he did two seasons ago. I've said that, you know, and with the FFP, I think it's all part of the mix and why we have what we have this season. But overall, he's judged by how we end up, Giannis, and we are where we are right now. So how much of it do you put on Tony?
Well, you know, I'm a big critic of him. I think he should go. And I think he should go now, but I have. There are two reasons. The one is the most obvious, which is the mess of the squad, the yo-yo comment.
Yep.
The up down. We're going down again. As a director of football, he has failed. He's failed because you want us to go up. The objective is to stay up. And we've been relegated twice in 3 years.
Yeah.
But the second reason I think he should go, and I think it might be as important, is actually recent developments. I mean, he's running AEW Dynamite in the US wrestling.
Yep.
And that's doing very well.
It is.
Very well.
It's successful.
And that's been a success story for Tony Khan. We've got to give him that. The second one, maybe the biggest, was the Jacksonville Jaguars. He runs that, but they picked up, for those of you NFL
Trevor
fans,
Lawrence.
They picked up Trevor Lawrence. And for those of you that don't follow the NFL, he is a generational player. He's a player, they're saying, is going to be as good as Peyton Manning in terms of a top.
He was in the draft room, by the way, of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And again, that might irritate fans, but I'm just going to tell you that when I was watching the NFL draft, Shad was there, Tony was there. So, again, you know, he is wearing these three hats. So I understand the criticism. And, you know, I know that, listen, the one thing I will say about Tony, and he deserves the criticism, and I've said this before, Giannis, that, you know, again, this is the roster he's built. And if it was a team over here, if it was my Boston Red Sox, he'd be fired by now. It's just the way it works. It's a little bit different with Fulham. You know, again, it is a little bit different because let's be honest, who the owner is, and that's a factor here. But he does wear three hats, and I think that, again, causes all, you know, some of the problems with fans. It's like, just dedicate yourself to Fulham. But I would have to think he thinks he can do all three equally, but it's, watching everything. I mean, you know, I will criticize Tony, but I will also say that I think that, you know, he does deserve some credit for getting us back into the Premier League twice. So, you know, we can criticize him and it's duly noted, but just remember, it hasn't been all bad. It just, you know, but again, the buck stops with him and his father. And I understand all the criticism. I understand the criticism. He deserves the criticism. But the one thing that I will not agree with is this. He cares about Fulham Football Club. I believe that. That stuff, I disagree with people that think he doesn't care. I just think he thinks he can do all three, which, again, I think is asking a lot from any human being. But so I understand your point. But let's end with this, and then we're going to preview the match. Shahid Khan, who's actually been on Cottage Talk years ago, and Tony's been on as well. How much do you blame Shahid? Now, Shahid oversees everything. And I want him to be the owner of Fulham Football Club. I think that they've learned from their lessons over the years, okay? But you just said it, Giannis. The buck stops with him. It's been a yo-yo club. So he oversees everything. You know, again, my whole thing has always been, does he spend? In one part of this, I want to give him full credit because he has spent. He's not been afraid to spend money. And that's what I want an owner to do. Okay? So he gets full marks on that part. He's also basically with the Riverside Stand, that's part of Fulham's future. So he's done that. But again, it's still overseeing this mess. So doesn't the buck stop with him? With some, you know, and again, he's delegating to others, including his son. So how much do you put this on the owner?
I think Shahid deserves a fair amount of stick. I mean, there's the building of the new stand, which we're all excited about. I mean, you and I have talked about.
Yeah, it's great.
But then, you know, who's the person that decided that you're going to charge people $40 for the last game of the season when we could be relegated? When a club like Burnley that doesn't have half our resources decide that the first home game will be free? You know, it's perceptions and optics, right? Yep. I think that what I understand that he's his boy. Tony's his boy. He's only got one. He's got a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this is the same way that he's made his billions. It's about business. It's still a business.
It is.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars have just hit the jackpot. AEW have hit the jackpot recently, and they're doing very well. But I mean, a quote. Steve Ledger put here, and I think this is absolutely brilliant. He said, "Dave, he hasn't tweeted about Fulham since March."
That's right.
All he tweets about is AEW, and then fans over here, you know, our perception was that you can understand fans going, "Well, he doesn't care." Well, once you don't want negative publicity, and Shahid has to make that difficult decision, and I think the decision has to be. Maybe, you know, keeping with negotiations or whatever, but for the DOF, get rid of him now. Do it. Make the toughest decision that you need to do for the betterment of Fulham Football Club, and that is to change your director of football and do it now.
Okay. Okay. And listen, I understand where you're going on that. But, you know, as you said, Giannis, it's the Sun. It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. But as you just said, it's business too. So when we talk about decisions that Fulham need to make, you know, and again, like I said, and I'll say this, you know, Shahid, you know, like I said, and I've said this about any team, I just want my owner to spend money. And so I'm kind of being a little bit of a hypocrite here because he has done that. But I also think that he also oversees everything, you know, and listen, you know, I could say the same thing because I say this about John Henry with Liverpool and the Red Sox. John Henry spends all this money, but the Liverpool fans are irate. And in another way, they have a right to be irate. They have a right to be upset at John Henry, even though he spends the money. They have a right. So I understand that Shad deserves criticism here because, again, he is the owner. And like I said, the buck stops with him. But one thing I will never fault him on is spending money and caring about Fulham. Same thing with Tony. They do. But, you know, they deserve the brunt, a good portion. Along with Parker and the players, everyone deserves their part of the blame pie. But they deserve criticism too. They absolutely do. And I just want to make sure we do that. All right, my friend, we do have to end this show. So let's just get right to it. And again, if you're a Burnley supporter, you're like, why are you not talking about the match? We're going to talk about it for about 5 minutes now. So coming up next, we're going to finish the show by talking about Fulham's match against Burnley on Monday night.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Meet Harper, teammate at Truist.
Hello.
She was born to care and always had your back. Like the time her friend's bumper car took a gnarly hit.
Oh, no.
His retainer went flying, but Harper caught it before it got crushed. Today, Harper's a teammate at Truist, the bank with Truist One checking. With no overdraft fees, $100 negative balance buffer, and automatic upgrades, Truist One checking has your back, too. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank. $100 negative balance buffer. Eligibility requirements apply. Truist Bank member FDIC.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The pandemic has been hard on all our kids. New studies show more than 1 in 3 children who started school in the pandemic now need intensive reading help. That's right. Millions of kids in kindergarten through third grade in the United States cannot read at grade level. Here's the good news. Your child can be reading in just 30 days, guaranteed, with Hooked on Phonics. Even if your child has been struggling, Hooked on Phonics will teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. And right now, you can get started for just $1. Text the word GRADE to 323232 right now. Hooked on Phonics is highly effective and incredibly fun, and everything can be done right from home and in less than 20 minutes a day. For more than 30 years, Hooked on Phonics has been the proven learn-to-read program that kids love to use. Text GRADE to 323232 and teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. Text GRADE to 323232 right now and get started for just $1. Text GRADE to 323232 now. Text GRADE to 323232.
Okay, Giannis, let's just get to it. We're not going to spend too much time. How does Fulham win this match?
I think we just go for guns and blazing. Guns are blazing. And I don't mean
Scott Parker has to change who he is and just go for it, man.
Change who
at
he
this
is
point, just no conservative. Just go for it. Go at Burnley.
I think that's what we need to do. I don't want to win any of this nil-nil and try and nick a thing. I just go have a go at them. Play what you think is your strongest lineup and attack and do what you need to do. And if you can get a win, it's Southampton next Saturday.
Yep.
I mean, we've got to play it step by step.
That's right. One step at a time. But if they win this, and then, you know, again, it's baby steps. It's funny because if they win this, then you can talk about the next match. So we really can't talk about the next one until we cross the bridge with this one. So yeah. All I'm going to say is we will evaluate Fulham after this match, and then we'll take it from there. Yes, it does not look good. But, again, I watched a Boston Red Sox team down 3-0 in in an American League Championship Series to the New York Yankees and won four straight. I'm not saying that this is going to happen here. Just saying, you know, you have to play it out. You have to see how things happen. You have to start somewhere. It starts with Burnley. And it could end. It could end there. But it might not. We'll have to see. Give me your starting 11.
Oh, God. You're going to put me on the spot for this one.
I am. Go ahead, man.
Okay, so we'll go Ariola in net. Aina, Anderson, Tosin, and Robinson in the middle.
Okay.
I don't think Reed's going to be fit. So Zambo and Lamina.
Yep.
I would put... I'd play 4-2-2-2. So okay. I'd put Zambo and Lamina in the middle.
Okay.
I would put Lookman and Dekotova Reed.
Okay.
In front of them, and then I'd put Madja and Mitro. So 4-2-2-2.
And that would be pretty aggressive, and I would not be against that, my friend. I see where you're going on that. Okay. All right, we're going to end with it. Give me a prediction.
1-1.
And 1-1 would be devastating.
1-1, yeah. Yeah, one, I don't they got problem. The problem, we're going to have to stop. Chris Wood is scoring goals for fun.
Yes.
Rodriguez, Vidra always plays well against us. They are an assault on the senses, but I think the hardest working team in the Premier League. I have massive respect for Dyche, even though he's a bit of a you-know-what.
Yep.
But I mean, they're proper football club and they're properly run.
Yep.
We're going to have to really come out with this fired up. Just go at these buggers. We've only won two home games all year.
That's right.
Let's leave it on the field. I'd rather we lose 7-0 going for it.
See, that's where I'm going, my friend. At this point, it doesn't matter if they lose 4-0 and Chris Wood scores a hat trick. It doesn't matter. If the approach is we are desperate, you are desperate, you're just going to go for it, meaning that Scott Parker has to go against really his principles, which are to be conservative, to nick a win. He needs to just throw caution out the door and just go for it. And you know what, my friend? I'm going to say we're going to pull it off.
Oh.
I'm saying 2-1 to Fulham. I think Chris Wood's going to score, but I think Mitro's going to score a brace. I think Mitro's going to start, and I think he's going to score two goals. So I'm going 2-1 to Fulham. Let's see if I'm right. Okay. All right. All right, my friend. We do have to wrap it up before we go. I want to thank everyone for watching and listening to the show and welcoming Giannis and I back. And it's been a while, and I just, again, big thank you to everyone. I'm sorry I haven't shared any comments because, again, I had a lot of topics I wanted to get through with Giannis today, and it's just good to talk Fulham again. I missed it, and it was difficult dealing with COVID-19 and watching everything around me not being able to talk about it. I didn't even feel really good about talking about it. Well, I'm ready to talk about it, and I think this was a good step in the right direction for me, and back to Cottage Talk. It was great doing it with Giannis. But, my friend, let's wrap this up. For Giannis Chinas, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.